Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
First in town, Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Have you heard of it? Charleroi. What a beautiful name. But it's not so beautiful now. Has experienced a 2,000% increase in the population of Haitian migrants under Kamala Harris. So, Pennsylvania, remember this when you have to go to vote. Okay, just remember this. 2,000% increase. This is a small town. All of a sudden, they got thousands of people. The schools are scrambling to hire translators for the influx of students who don't speak not a word of English, costing local taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. Likewise, the small.
All right, that's President Trump yesterday in Arizona, I believe, shouting out, as we said at the top of the Dom Giordano show, the town of Charleroi, Pennsylvania. We have, with good fortune, tracked down Councilman Larry Salaski and Mayor Greg Dorfler to join us here and talk about this town in the context of what we've heard in several places. Larry, it was a pleasure to talk with you today. And Mayor Greg, welcome to Philadelphia, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Larry, for listeners, you told me you're in the Westmoreland County area. Give us an idea of where you're located in relation to Philadelphia. We're Philadelphia-centric, so where would we go to get to your town?
Well, first of all, just to correct you, we are located, Charleroi, Pennsylvania, is located in Washington County.
Okay.
And we're about 29 miles south of Pittsburgh.
Okay. So, Larry, this has been building up. I told you that a listener of ours, I think it was Bill at Bucks County last week, when Springfield was involved, gave us a clue toward he grew up there and he moved to Bucks County. Question I have for you first, and then we'll ask the mayor the same thing, just to get your perspective. How did this happen? That's the thing. In other words, who made the decision to do this? Were businesses involved? How did it suddenly happen that all these people are being sent to your town?
Well, sir, that's the million-dollar question. And if you can provide an answer to that, we'd certainly like to know. You know, in the blink of an eye, Charleroi, which was a small town, we're only about 0.9 miles long. Driving through it, we're about 16.2 miles in circumference. We have been transformed, and I'm not going to say overnight, because this has been taking place over the past few years, where Charleroi has now transformed itself into a predominantly heavy immigrant community. And again, you know, what's come along with that has been no help from the federal government, the state government. You know, you can date back, you know, through the Biden-Harris administration. Their border policies, which are weak. You could go back to Governor Wolf, who provided no assistance to the borough of Charleroi. You could go to Governor Shapiro, and especially Senator Bob Casey. We should have been delivered a plan along with proper funding when this decision to bring the number of immigrants into our community that has been delivered.
Okay, well, Larry, hold up for a second now. Let me bring Mayor Greg in. So, Mayor Greg, do these people just suddenly show up? Do they have a piece of paper? Does the federal government call you as the mayor and saying, hey, we're bringing thousands of people
right
in? They just moved in.
They just basically moved in and started working in some of the local packing plants and stuff like that, and opening stores and whatnot. And, yeah, they just showed up.
So, Mayor, when this happens, now neither one of you, but you can speak if there is. Larry didn't tell me of any sort of pet issues here, right? Is that clear? Where you are, there's no allegation of taking pets and eating them and sacrificing, right?
No, I haven't heard of any of that.
All right, the allegations seem to be the numbers.
And I also sit on the regional police board.
Okay.
And there's been nothing brought to us through the police chief for anything, you know, with complaints or anything. So I haven't heard of anything
okay.
like that.
All right. So, Mayor, the number one complaint, as I get it, and I think it may have been Larry at some point, there was talk of putting Crayol on stop signs, is people that somehow or another have licenses or don't, are driving recklessly. Maybe they come from a country where it doesn't strike me traffic laws are much enforced. Is that the biggest thing, other than the numbers, which we've kind of clarified here, and the strain it puts on the system? Is that the biggest problem, Mayor?
It's definitely a big issue, for sure. Because they don't understand the traffic signs or whatnot, and then they don't know that there's actual laws about insurance and licenses and registrations. So the police are constantly dealing with that, you know, where they're not actually, you know, legal to drive in PA or have the right insurance and stuff like that.
And I can imagine that gets citizens pretty fired up. So, Councilman Larry, you told me two of your biggest businesses, and you really were adamant to get the word out on this, are apparently, well, one is already left and the other might leave town. What does that have to do with this issue, if anything?
Well, if you want to coincide with the issue, the loss of jobs with the one plant, Quality Pasta, that left the Friday before Labor Day, that was 100 jobs. There was a considerable number of immigrants who worked at that plant. They anchor Hawking, originally called Corning Glass, that provides 325 jobs there. There's really only about a dozen immigrants that hold those jobs. If you take a look at the loss of jobs in general, and the ones from the immigrant community, how is that going to impact the community? What are they going to do? Where are they going to find work at? Are they going to be sitting idle, unemployed, and then not being productive within the community? You know, that's going to present concerns. You know, when somebody's unemployed, you got a lot of time on your hands. And a lot of things that go through your mind. And sometimes, you know, some bad things can take place when you have too much time on your hands.
All right, producer Dan has a question for you guys about the schools. Dan?
Well, schools and what you're talking about here with, you know, now we're going to have a strain on, I would guess, your local unemployment. Is that correct? Do the Haitian immigrants have any right to the unemployment money? Or how's that work now that they're out of work? And I want to dig into the schools a little bit because back in May, you guys had to get a visit from the state to get some extra funding because the Haitian situation was overwhelming schools to a degree. So first off, let's go throw them first. Mayor, how about you? What do you say to that?
Well, it's definitely a problem with the schools, because I'm friends with a few teachers and school board members, and they are, you know, there's definitely issues there because of the, they have to spend so much extra time with the immigrant kids, with the, you know, the learning curves of that, and the homegrown kids, if you want to call them, these people are like kind of like pushed aside, and they're not getting the attention they need because they're trying to help the Haitians with, you know, with what they're doing.
And Councilman Larry, how do you see it?
Well, the language barrier does present a problem in the Shawley School District. Again, they're not getting the help that they need funding-wise, and that presents a tax burden on the taxpayers within the Shawley School District. I know that within the immigrant community, we're not recognizing any tax revenue for the borough of Charleroi. Sure. They reside in landlord-tenant dwellings within our community. Yes, the landlords, you know, they are paying taxes, but we're not seeing any influx of revenue from the number of the few thousand that we have in our town.
All right. I want to start with the mayor. So, Mayor, big picture, when you see this, Springfield, Ohio, Aurora, there's someplace near Gettysburg where there's a big fight of putting 1,000 Haitians in there in an historic orphanage building, and then your town. What's the big picture to you? What do you want to get out there? I had a long conversation with Larry, but I want to ask you, to America, because, you know, this is a voice, this is a big station. What do you want to tell them when you have people like Johnny Legend, Sonny Hostin, Taylor Swift, and others essentially saying, why are you people complaining so much about this stuff? Why don't you just welcome people?
The big picture is, I mean, as long as they're productive, to me, as long as they're productive, they work, they take care of their property, there are not any problems with the law, I don't have a big issue with that. But it's the other stuff that goes with it that is the problem with, like, with the schools and the driving and things like that.
Yeah, so is it fair to say, Mayor, you are taking the burden of all these intentions of people, 300,000 Haitians here, Venezuelans there, and they're not going to Beverly Hills. They're not going to, you know, the fanciest places in New York. They're being sent suddenly, as you said, they just show up in towns like yours. You're forced to bear the burden of this so-called goodwill.
Right.
And
Larry said, we get no funding.
Right.
They didn't, like, there was like no plan to help us, you know, get through this. They were just like, oh, they're here, deal with it.
And Larry, do you see it that way?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, it's a macro problem. You know, if our political leaders were doing a better job on economic policy, you know, a few Charlery businesses would not have to hire immigrant labor to be able to provide essential services to their customers. And we just heard a soundbite that you had from President Trump. Right now, we're Trump's narrative with the borough of Charleroi.
Are you okay with that? Is he accurate?
He's absolutely accurate.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. We need to hear more from people like you guys who are proud of your community. I can't imagine, Mayor, and you're the main person here in this, suddenly people just showing up like this in a small town like this, given already stretched budgets, et cetera. I think you guys are handling this remarkably well. In fact, Mayor, Larry told me, hey, Dom, I want to make sure that we say the upside of some Haitian people. There's, good people here, too. We're not besmirching people. Somehow or another, that's not getting out there. These towns are being made the bad guys in this because of a policy that directly affects you and your way of life, Mayor.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, Mayor, anytime. And Larry, thank you today. And thanks for, were you really going to put Creole on its stop signs, though?
Well, you know what? That's the second most predominant language that's in the borough of Charleroi, and we have to put safety first and try to eliminate any automobile accidents. And if that's going to help save lives out there, yes, we're going to put that on stop signs,
right,
and yield signs, and any other traffic signs.
All right, Larry and Mayor, please, Larry, you're our point person here. Stay in touch as this develops. Very glad to have you on. Thank you very much, and just honored to have you guys today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much. I mean, listen to these guys, particularly the mayor, Dan. Larry's a little bit more provocative, I guess. But listen to the mayor. Listen to these people. And these small towns, you heard what he said. There was no notice, hey, 2,000 Haitians are going to be arriving tomorrow. So, you know what? There's an opportunity. That's why I do another debate. whatever Trump wants to say around the eating of animals and just say it's alleged and there were reports in Springfield, but then pivot toward this. Be the voice. Do another debate. Hammer this. These people are being barraged with this because of the feelings of people like Sonny Hostin, Kamala Harris, the Biden administration, progressives. Oh, these poor people. Do you want to do this where you, this has been the problem forever?
I don't know why Trump's not. This is fascinating to me that if you look over in the UK, it's being so suppressed here in the US, what's happening with their immigration situation.
Yeah.
Why not say, do we really want to have the kind of situation that's playing out in the UK here in the United States?
Okay.
Because this is our opportunity to get ahead of that and not let that happen here on our soil.
And I'll answer that, Dana, and I'll take calls on this. I know some people, they didn't say it to me last night. They're going to say, oh, that's just caving into the left. Dump this Laura Loomer. Loser name, loser phone number. We've had her on. Don't have her anywhere near you. She's the one planning. She's around them all the time. You don't get to, the problem with this is in the debate, to your point, you don't get to say wild stuff and win on this. You got to drill down like we did. You and Henry did yeoman's work. Just trying. They're not even listed, this town, the town council, et cetera. So when we told listeners day after day, we're trying to get them on Aurora, they're in the tank. They don't want to say anything. They're pretending it didn't happen. Springfield, I think the mayor and city manager are in the tank. They want to pretend it didn't happen, but the people are there. What's the other one? This one I told you with the orphanage. The point is, Trump has to hone his game here and speak for these people and make the point, the contrast. It brings them all in. All the progressive idealists, do they want to have to do with this? If that's the case, why are the Haitians not in Beverly Hills? Take all the fancy neighborhoods with progressives. Doylestown. Bring them there. All right, let's go to Parker in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Parker, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Dom?
Good.
Okay, we can start off with, they had a bill for the immigration, and they shot it down for political reasons. That's number one.
Well, it's not number one. Let's go through that. There's a couple parts to that. One, that bill was ineffective. If we want to keep people out of this country that shouldn't be here, why didn't we just do what was done during the Trump years, which you have to stay in Mexico? You don't get to come here and then come into the country, and then we have to fine you. Why not just do that?
Okay, now that's what you're saying. Now, this is the real reason why it was low when Trump was the president. It wasn't inviting. When they saw Obama as president, they looked at it like, wow, finally the United States became non-racist country. So they felt as though that was an invitation for them to come when they saw a minority as president of the United States.
Well, wait a minute. Why do we want them to come? Why do we want anybody to come illegally?
No. We're talking about legally, right?
Wait a minute, Parker. Even in the Trump years, to your point, or any president, we have tens of millions of people worldwide every year who want to come to the United States, despite who the president is.
Right.
That can do it legally.
No. But let me say this. You talk about low-educated people, right? The ones that's low educated people, more lower than the ones here in America, are the ones that are outside America. So if you tell them that this is the place to come to, they're going to come. They're not going to be looking at the news and wind up that they're not welcome, they're not wanted. They're just going to come. See, they don't know that nobody don't like them. They go by images. They see a black president, oh my God, the world changed. Then they see a president that talks about them like dogs, rapists, and killers. Of course they're not going to come as much. That's what that's about.
Well, that's an unusual sentiment. You don't think it's our policy of trying to, they came to the border and they weren't allowed in. And as far as the border bill, Parker, a couple things on that. One, it's flawed. No, we don't like the policy on it.
Of course.
And two,
it's got to be flawed.
Two, why would we allow Democrats for 3.5 years to have an open border and then suddenly bail them out before the election? Why would we do that?
Are we bailing out the Democrats or are we bailing out the United States?
No,
we're out these places you're talking about.
We're bailing out the Democrats. Thank you. Let me make that point that politicians can't say. Here's the point. These Republican dummies like the Lankford guy, how dare they? At the 11th, oh, Dom, don't you want to really stop them? No, we've lived with it long enough. Let's let it go through the election. In other words, Democrats and the media are saying, well, they want to stop at the border. They didn't for 3.5 years. They've gotten what they want. Now they have to pay the price. And it's like people at dinner saying, whoa, I may have eaten, but you know, I'm not going to pay the price now. And some Republican dummy yells, I'll pay for you. He jumps over here. Lankford jumps up here and I'll put a big tip down. That stupid idiot from Oklahoma. Pretend like you're talking. I'll say what they can't say. Pretend like you're, yeah, we're talking border bills. I'll get back to you, Chuck. I got to look at paragraph C, section whatever. What a bunch of dummies. Of course Trump was doing it partially politically. Of course he should. We want to win. Oh, what about the United States? Well, winning is good for the United States. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was actually prepared after that call to ask you if you were okay. Because there was no buddy or friend.
Okay. No, because
he just got very animated.
Well, so it's because Parker wasn't being a bad, you know what I mean? He wasn't getting
he
all
wasn't,
you.
No, he was yeah, very
I,
fair
if the
arguing,
if the caller is even though I think caller. His argument wasn't good, if they're being fair and they're trying to legitimately make it, I'm not going to call him buddy. When you hear buddy,
yeah,
you know
that's a problem.
He was a nice guy. Yeah. So Obama was inviting that. That's why they were coming. Was Biden inviting? Suddenly they said, oh, Biden's president. We got to
Someone
go there.
Just called in and said it was your fault and hung up. So.
Oh, okay.
What's his fault? Everything. Everything's your fault, Doug.
All right, 855-839-12. I do have a tendency to think I have more power than I do. Like when they were taking down the sign for Wild Bill Guinier to park in front of his house, and I said, put down that screwdriver, whatever you're using.
Yeah.
And the guy said, make me. It felt good to get him to say that. Like, I'm actually going to...
I don't want
to
blow any smoke, but I mean, you talk about Charleroi and then Trump and Tucson drop
there
Charleroi.
There we go. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, we have to. That's right. Yeah, Trump said it. Trump's just got a button up. O'Reilly says he can't do it. Can he? That's maybe that's the question. Do another debate. Can Trump button it up? Because it's a win. People are making this like, well, you can't win. They're going to ambush you.
Hey, Dom.
Yes.
Are these the protesters? Parker calling in, and then you need to get another call as if it's all your fault. Are they actually following through? Earlier in the show, we played you talking with the protesters saying, give us a call.
I got to say, when the protesters were talking about how much are we paid in rubles, I loved it. I felt like saying, come on in. It's on us. Let us buy you a drink. Come on in and entertain. The mob would have gotten them, though. The Russian talk last night was really good. Here's a tip to the protesters. Get some Russian hats. Dress up in that the next time. Make your point. All right, if we vote, we win. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Give me your reaction to Parker and also Charleroi.
I'm living perfect to Chestnut.
And let me take just a quick poll here before we take any more calls. Henry, do you carry any cash?
Yeah, I always carry
okay,
cash.
Good.
Oh, get him out of here.
All right. I don't use it.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
I carry
yeah.
it, but
yeah.
I'm you always gotta, a credit guy.
You never know who you have to bribe or in there for whatever years. Might come up. Yeah. Greg Stocker last night goes, yeah, well, I agree with Dan. I don't carry any cash, too. All right. Wawa was in the news.
Get him out.
I'd have a chance yesterday. Yeah. DJ Luke, no cash. My God. How do you get by if you don't have cash?
It's inconvenient. People don't know how to count anymore.
So, Dan, you have some cash, so come on. You're not a completely non-cash.
Where's my wallet? Oh, here it is.
There you go.
That's not a good sign, right?
Well, you don't have your wallet on you? What the heck's up with that?
I take it out. I have a look at it. It's like from Seinfeld.
It's not that big. Yeah. It's my wallet. I feel it every second. If that wallet's not there
for... You got a big one, too. Yeah, you got a Costanza wallet.
Yeah, if the wallet is not there for...
Oh, you want to see a Costanza wallet? I could take mine out.
What do you have in there?
Oh, whip it out, Henry.
Yeah,
hold on. Give me a second.
See, he doesn't have it on him either. He's got to put it away.
He's got to put it away.
I do have cash. I have $48 on me, Dom.
That's pretty big. Henry's is a bigger wallet. He's got the biggest wallet here.
I have too many gift cards in here and stuff. Like, I get a gift card and I just keep it in there. Like, oh, yeah.
You
I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll end up at that store.
I might stop by Dick's on the way home.
No, you know what? I admire that. I would carry it, too. All right, so I'll tell you the Wawa cash story. Give me a reaction. Side question 2, in play on Talk Radio 1210.
You got a skull for your brain?
a plastic sleeve for your comb, and a wallet for your money.
Look at this thing. It's huge. You got more cow here than here.
All right, a couple of things. One, the cash thing. So Henry, thank God, comes to save the day. I just don't understand. I could no more go outside the house, and I can't think of anything, Dan, without at least $20 to $40 on at any second. I mean, it would just feel, what am I doing?
Why, though? Are you buying tomatoes on the side of the road from a farm stand?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Or you show up at a Wawa, and the other day...
Those watermelons look good, I mean.
Up to 100 Wawas were not accepting right before September 12th, 10 a.m., you couldn't pay for anything unless you had cash. 100-plus stations had no internet credit card ability, cash only. Just an example. It happens all the time. You don't find it comforting to have cash? Are you afraid somebody's going to steal it?
I have a wife for that.
Oh, okay.
She always has cash on her, I'll be quite honest.
Oh, there we go, right?
I thought you said she was stealing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
No. Not if anything.
All right, so that's one. The other thing is last night, watching the quarterback of the Dolphins, Tua, crash into a guy. What are the odds? And it's a guy who had COVID vaccine, you may remember, and just suddenly on a slight tackle collapsed and almost died from the Bills. And this is his, at least, I bet it's a lot more, third concussion in the last 2 years. Could be concussion prone. There are guys. Dan, you watch this and you were talking with your friends.
Yeah.
And I've made my, now, first of all, if they say he's medically cleared at some point, oh my God, that's not a doctor you want to go to. This guy shouldn't be medically clear. But the other side of me says, hey, if he wants to play, who am I to stand in his way? The only way I make my peace with this, I know how dangerous this is. I know about CTE is not just concussions. It's mini concussions, if you will. But these guys know this now. If they want to do it.
Is he doing it for the money? Is he trying to prove, like... Henry told me about a clause that's in the contract. Was that you that told me about that? About an injury, if he remains healthy or... If he's
it wasn't me, no.
No, if he's medically cleared... And he doesn't play, he loses the money. If he's not medically cleared, he gets the money.
And I was watching last night, Dom, and I've been someone that's kind of been against those that speak out against football and all, because I'm a big fan of it, to be quite honest. But last night I'm watching it, right? And I'm thinking to myself, there's a play, and I'm watching too. I just got back from the Trump Jr. event. And Tua drops back into the pocket, and you're taught as a quarterback to step into the pressure if you're about to be sacked and don't throw the ball away because there's the potential for it to go very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he kind of scrambles away because it's weird because he backpedals short, scrambles away, and you see him kind of float one to the sideline. It's picked off, pick six. I text my friends and I say, this guy's playing scared. It's clear to me that he has in him at somewhere that, and I think he recognized that at the interception. The guy next drive takes off and dives head forward into the opposing team. I think he did it because he thought to himself, after that interception, I was weak, and now I need to prove myself. That's not a good place for this guy to be. It's and where we're at now is the guy's not wearing a Guardian helmet. He wears a Vicus helmet, which is or Vicious. I don't know. It's V-I-C-I. Yes, and the helmet that he wears is to protect from the impact to the ground and how he previously got the concussion. It doesn't protect when you go head first into somebody like that. So, Tua, for yourself, man, it's you're one injury away from being permanently changed for life. And last night you saw a little bit of the fencing again, and it was pretty clear to anybody watching. You look on Twitter, that's a concussion. And
fourth one in 5 years going back to Alabama days.
Alabama, fourth in 5 years. But you remember last year there was an incident with a potential concussion that they rushed him back to play so they wouldn't have to deal with all that. So there's questions as to whether or not the guy had more concussions than they're actually reporting. And I just think to myself, what's he trying to prove at this point?
He wants to play football.
I know.
It's his livelihood.
I know, but I also think to myself there's a lot, and I take it back to my original arguments of football. There's a lot. This is kind of a special case here, but there's a lot to the CTE stuff, I got to say.
Here's what's going to happen here. Here's a prediction. They are going to the NFL. They want to force him to quit, keep the money somehow or another. I know the Dolphins might. You know why? Because this gets at the whole league. It's right in front of you what we're watching.
Nobody wants
to see
it.
I know Henry's getting it. But it's true, Henry, and no one's more competitive and loves sports. When you're watching this, we know a third of these guys is going to be brutal when they reach 45 to 50 years of age. Because of this, they have knowledge of it, say a third or so. Jason Kelce talks about it all the time. They want to live with it. That's why I'm kind of lukewarm on football, and that's why the NFL puts out the fraudulent kickoffs and all that stuff. They're trying to pretend that they're doing something about it. You can't do anything about it. They're too fast and too big at that speed. You're going to get this.
Well, it's like I said. I think they should go back to having the leather helmets.
Yeah.
Then no one will lead with their head.
Right. Well, have you read enough on CTE, though, the thousands of little mini things?
And yeah, because
I don't know how
they always talk
it.
About, like, every play on the line is like getting in a mini car crash.
That's
I had a concussion, you know, like probably 10 years ago, and that wasn't from getting hit in the head. It was from I like kind of hit the ground like Tua did.
Right.
And it just kind of went up my spinal cord and just like I didn't like, oh, I don't
well, that's
so
one
good.
Thing. And that's frightening.
Yeah.
But it's the mini things because you don't recognize them.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, if you watched this last night, be honest, football is addictive to America, but it's just clear and present. Is the NFL going to try to get this guy to quit because of how bad this looks? Dan, you mentioned the fencing thing. When a guy goes like that with his arm, people see it on TV.
Yeah.
They turn away because they're thinking, oh, my God. It's sickening.
It's sickening. Yeah. I just want to interrupt here and say, Suze Loves Jeffy over on YouTube says, is this the guy from the Dolphins? Yeah, Tua Tagliova is who we're talking about.
Exactly.
Tagovailoa.
All right, phone line.
I can't say his last name. That's why I haven't tried. What is it, Henry?
Tagovailoa.
All right.
Tagovailoa.
All right, and hit us on the cash thing. You heard the people from the small town in Pennsylvania. Growing number of them. I hope the Trump people are trying to organize them. I say, do a town hall in one of these towns. Then don't do it in Springfield, Ohio. Do it here, because that way you get rid of the animal stuff and all. And the media are showing what rats they are. All they're concerned with is not addressing these people, because they hate these people by and large. The elites hate them. And Taylor Swift, if she just said some little dopey thing about Kamala Harris, but the line that got me was, I want calm, not chaos. Think of the chaos. She's unaware of this. She's doing this. Variety shamed her. They were on her. I think she saw an opportunity. It looks like Kamala Harris is going to do well after the debate, and pounced. 855-839-1210. What do you say to these people, all right, that are getting the brunt of these policies? Maybe in the Delaware Valley we're seeing more of it. All right, 855-839-1210. Don't forget, get in on the side question. We got that going on. We have a lot more to play you to of Don Trump Jr. last night. It was fascinating backstage. If you were there, hope you enjoyed it. We shouted out to Linda Kearns, who'll be on the show today. And Dan Suit was another of the top 10 highlights. I'm not sure. Rose says it's number 5.
That's very nice.
I thought it was number 10, but maybe 5. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's talk FanDuel for a moment. Well, the NFL and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, is continuing its special offer to keep us watching more. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5, get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with the YouTube TV base plan, you're able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. All you have to do, just visit FanDuel.com/Dom, D-O-M, to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. You have to be 21-plus, present in Pennsylvania. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will automatically be charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Tom Giordano program. Side question today, Friday the 13th, National Superstition Day. The polling that we see so far post-debate pretty much is at least what I expected, even Trafalgar. They have no major leap for Kamala Harris, and most of the polls don't. They have a slight uptick. But you got to realize what this did is it took away a big opportunity, and she was on the ropes. She was drip, drip, drip. inch by inch, in the swing states particularly, Trump was moving away. Not in any one just giant leap, but slowly but surely. And it kind of derailed it. That's one of the reasons I think a third debate. I think Christie's right. He's telling her, don't do a third debate. I'm saying Trump should do that. And again, we talked about strategy with O'Reilly yesterday, how to go at the media if they start the fact-checking, if they start having parity in asking both parties difficult questions. Trump can do that. He didn't do it in the last debate. All right, that opportunity's gone. Do another debate. If not, the fear is she is just going to go off the grids, except for the National Black Journalist, stuff like that, and you're not really going to see any challenge. All right, Robert in Bensalem Salem is next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert, welcome in.
Hi, Dom, Dan. It's good to talk to you guys.
Same here.
Today. I was listening to the caller Parker, and it really seems like he has kind of the convenient worldview and memory. He said that illegal immigration went down because they didn't want to come in with a racist president. Did he forget the caravans that came crashing into our border with hundreds of thousands of people the first 2 years Trump was in office? Did he forget that he effectively dealt with that by doing everything he could with Remain in Mexico, Title 42, and he had it under control, and we were building the wall? Where does he get his information that says that people stopped coming when Trump was president? They started coming when he was president, prompted by people that wanted to destabilize his administration, in my view, like the George Soros.
Well, and also, Obama, as bad as it was, never had the sort of thing that we saw with Biden. Biden went way beyond anything we saw with Obama.
Yeah, Obama was catch and release, and Biden was don't bother catching, just release.
Yes.
But they sent Kamala down to Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala, as soon as she became drug czar, and gave them a bunch of money. And it wasn't for economic development. It was to streamline them sending these people up here, man. We paid for this from the beginning. We've never been so pimped in our life, Dom. That's just my opinion.
I hear you. What's your side today?
Yes. I'm going to go with the baseball players never stepping on the baseball line chalk when they come on and off the field. That's been there for, I guess, about 80 years now, and it still goes on today. Kids today in Little League, a lot of them don't step on the chalk line. It's just something.
Well, I've seen it. You know what I don't like, though, and one of the Phillies relief pitchers does this, Robert. It's one thing not to kind of step on it, to jump over it. Something about that. I just can't take it.
Didn't Cliff Lee do that? Didn't he kind of jump over it when he was coming off the field one time?
Not a big Cliff Lee fan. It's an interview story in the locker room there. Man, you try getting blood out of a stone with that guy. We were covering the Phillies. Yeah. We're in the locker room, and you have guys in front of women reporters, Robert. I'm not making this up. A couple of them just dropped their drawers and everything else, just waddling around the locker room. There's something about that. Look, I wasn't going to pretend like I was like, what the hell?
Well, but the one thing about Cliff Lee is nobody could punt a wad of bubble gum further than he could. Every time he came off, he used to drop it out of his mouth and punt it up the baseline.
That's true.
But, I appreciate the time. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, Robert. A couple other from baseball, Dom.
Dan, I wish you were around during that. You know, they had a breakfast table in Clearwater, and the whole media has to wait until Joe Blant was finished his cereal and puts down the spoon. Then you can move in to ask questions. Look, covering politicians, as bad as it is much easier than covering athletes. Yeah. Oh, my God, I'd go nuts.
So the rally cap we can take off, too. Great baseball superstition. But the one compulsion that I know gets under your skin, the fixing of the gloves before every swing.
You know who
right?
started it, right?
Who's that?
Garcia Parra. It was amazing, yeah. He's a good player, very good player.
Do you know about this yet, Henry?
I know what he's talking about. I do find it a bit annoying at times, but I understand. You know, look good, feel good, play good. You gotta, do your thing.
No, but it's every second, every pitch. And then there was another guy. He played with the Cardinals or Reds that had to go up and down three times like this with his helmet. If you Google, you see what I mean. Then you have to grab your crotch. That one I can understand.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta have time to do that.
Yeah, you know.
They have basically forced these players, though, into moving along, which is a good thing.
So, and we all know of Jason Giambi's superstition.
Oh, yeah, the thong. Yeah, if you get a hit, yeah, or if you don't get a hit, you got to wear, I think he wanted to wear a thong.
How about Moises Alou's?
I forget his.
It's look it up. I don't want to reveal it.
Oh, okay. Well, all I know about Alou is he didn't catch the pop-up. The Cubs would have gotten into the World Series, and Bartman caught it and reached over. Oh, man.
Yeah, let's just say he thought a specific type of fluid would make his hands tougher, so he would.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay, yeah. Yes. All right. Well, anything to hit better. Phillies fans would be okay with that. The Mets in town tonight, New Yorkers. We haven't done New York in a while, maybe on Monday, if the Mets do well, and we're feeling that, you know, the obnoxiousness. Is there a Dan time today?
I didn't have one.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we got a lot of callers. And
well, the Emmys are coming up. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, but no, we do have a lot of callers. Okay. Let's get those callers.
Linda Kearns, too, coming up. We gave her a shout-out last night. We have some more sound from Don Trump Jr., including, got to play this in the 2 o'clock hour. I asked him a lot about the shooting of President Trump. He spoke up for the average Secret Service person, but believes, how did that guy get on the roof? Wait until you hear what he likens it to. And he says how bad of a shot this guy must have been. Thank God. 855-839-1210. Hey, it's important to make sure our families have the essentials, food, shelter, and of course, pure, clean drinking water. A lot of news about drinking water these days. Just do what I did and count on Martin Water Conditioning to secure your family's drinking water. The Connecticut system removes all the impurities from your water. What comes out of that tap? Crystal clear, all natural water. Not only is it the best tasting water ever, it provides peace of mind knowing that your family's water is pure and clean. The Martin Water family, conditioning family, is passionate about water. They'll put their 46 years of experience to work for you. Customer service, attention to detail, just fantastic. They test your water, and then they recommend solutions, and they're so proud to show you what they're going to do. Our guy, Dwayne, has been tremendous when we've had him out. So contact Martin Water Conditioning. They'll take great care of you. Click on martinwater.com or 800-887-7555. 800-887-7555. Tell him Dom G sent you. Okay, it is Dom time at 855-839-1210. By the way, I think backstage, because we had so many other things to talk about, but somehow or another, Dan, we're standing there. I think it was Dawn. It was Nick. Greg may have been there. You were shuttling in some wine. And somebody mentioned Project 25. And we let Don and his advisor be a little bit away from us. That's when he really perked up and in great detail talked about nothing to do with it. Trump just... talking about that, what happened here is the Heritage Foundation went nuts. I mean, what bad strategy putting down a lot of stuff I agree with, but 940 pages of stuff. And that's all that we're hearing. Oh, my God, this is the agenda they're going to put in. You know and I know Trump hasn't read Project 2025. No way. What I thought it was originally with the Heritage Foundation was... more how to place people in government that are going to facilitate the Trump agenda rather than those that are slowing it down or trying to stop it, the deep state. I think the Heritage Foundation just started puffing themselves up. They went wild with this, and now they've given Democrats, because of the media, a cudgel to continue to say, this is what they're going to do to you. All right? You think Trump's going to be watching your menstrual cycle, as they pretty much saying, we're going to be watching to see pregnancy and all this. Oh, my God. So they're a think tank. They didn't think well enough. It's done. And that's why he's addressing it today at a golf course in California. Go figure. All right. Big 2 o'clock hour to close out the week. We have some more sound from last night. If you were there, we'd love to hear from you. Linda Kearns will join us. I gave her a shout out and told Don Trump about her. Don Trump Jr.
Now we're on the flip side.
Yeah, let's play it now.
Here tonight, we have Linda Kearns and another colleague who are working with the Trump organization, the Trump campaign, as our keeper of integrity. And I've said, it's on them.
Yep.
That job. It's a big
Where's
job.
Where's Linda?
Where's Linda tonight? Stand up there, Linda Kearns.
Did she leave already? Yeah, was I boring you, Linda?
No, I don't think so.
I can't see into the crowd.
And
there she is. Okay.
All right.
I thought maybe I'm doing a lousy job, but Linda was like, forget this guy,
no,
out of here.
No, we have her on a lot. And Don, I am thrilled to tell you that the things that we see that have happened this time around versus 2020 in Pennsylvania, we're in a lot better hands. But you're the guy really plugged in, after all, with the president. Give us an idea what we're going to see, and I know it's fluid. Anything can happen.
Listen,
here.
It's totally
fluid. What are
we
going to be doing over the next 50 days?
The biggest thing, get out, vote early, check your registration. I actually did my Triggered podcast last week. I did a whole show with Scott Pressler. Who's just, honestly, he's a workhorse. He's been out there like an animal. But you go through all the dates. And, again, a lot of that will apply in the swing states. If you know other people in other swing states, obviously Pennsylvania is going to be a big one of those.
All right. So I agree with him on that. He didn't say mail-in balloting. I didn't want to get on, Dan. I didn't want to make too big a point. The crowd might not be with me on that. Still not sure. But I told him, he asked me backstage. First thing he did, Dan, after he took the pictures, sat down, well, what do you think is going to happen in Pennsylvania? And I said, it depends on between now and then, but I would bet, based upon where we are versus 2020, that it is much better. I don't know how I can convince you of that if you don't want to be convinced. Sean Parnell, the mail-in ballot is going well. Linda Kearns, Scott Presser, we bring them to you. It doesn't mean it's a sure win. It doesn't mean Democrats might not try anything between now and then, including trying to threaten us. The Department of Justice now designating the Electoral College vote count as a special national security event at the level of the Super Bowl. Okay, knock yourself out if you want to do that. How about designating that in Philadelphia, we're not going to have people intimidated if they're a poll watcher that we're bringing in? So Linda wrote me a beautiful email for that shout out. She's next. And again, she said, every time we mention where to go to show up to monitor the election, we're inundated. So we're happy to continue to do that. And I met people last night telling me that they have signed up to do that. I also met a guy, Dan, I was going to bring you over, who told me he could throw a football 65 yards.
No.
Why can't I throw 40? All right.
And is that a challenge? I think it's a challenge.
Yeah, I was ready to say, well, look, we're ready to go on here in 15 minutes. How about if we go out in the parking lot and you show me it, the 65 yards? We'll mark it off. I mean, it's amazing what people remember and what they come up with here.
I want to give a quick shout out, too. I mean, it was amazing seeing Joe Vexen, who's on hold. Yes. We'll get to him at some point here. But Blazin' Jesse made an appearance.
Oh, I didn't meet him.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
he was
did
one
I?
At the end. He had his mom there.
That's him.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed it. He
said
guy.
He's Blazin' Jesse and his mom doesn't imbibe. That's how he kept introducing
yeah,
his mom.
Yeah, but did
great.
He look like he sounds on the air? He sounds mm-hmm. much different.
No, yeah. He looked, yeah.
No, I had a much different perception.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, you're better. You know, in the sea of people, all kinds of things going on, you forget a little bit. Yeah, Joe Vexen will be on in the 2 o'clock hour. What an appearance. And Roe there last night, as soon as they see her. You know, it's a big trail. She doesn't believe it, but that's the club of talk radio.
Don, the hair is fine. Hair.
All right, Linda Kearns is next. Dom's Money Melody, Joe of Exton in the On Deck Circle, and your calls on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.